This is the 4501 Podcast, a beginner's guide to Twitch streaming in 2019. What's up, everyone? It's Mark from the 4501 Podcast, and it's just going to be you and me today. Tony is currently off in New Zealand, and one thing about New Zealand is that it's hard to get internet connection when you're out in the middle of the wilderness, so we'll see how this goes. I think Tony might do a solo podcast either before this one, or you may have listened to it already, and so we thought it was just going to be fair to have each of us do our own solo podcast. So today we're going to be talking about kind of this big idea that a lot of kids and a lot of young adults have been looking at, and that is live streaming on either Twitch or YouTube. And so a lot of this stuff has been picking up steam because of the kind of the rise of esports in general. And so I like to play video games, so I don't follow esports like religiously, but I do follow it kind of offhand if I'm on the train looking for stuff to look at. And so I'm really big into Call of Duty. So I watch a lot of Call of Duty on Twitch and stuff like that. And it's going to be bigger because they're actually going to move to a franchise model starting next season. So it's 2019 now. So for the upcoming season, they're going to start franchising it. So similar to like your NFL teams, your NBA teams, those are all franchises. Now you have a professional esports team that is actually moving to that sort of model. So with the rise of esports, live streaming on Twitch and YouTube has also risen too, because those two kind of go hand in hand. A lot of those professional esports gamers also stream their practices, their events and stuff like that. And so the biggest streamer today is actually, you probably heard of him, is called Ninja, and he streams this popular game called Fortnite. And if you haven't heard of Fortnite and you haven't heard of Ninja, you probably shouldn't listen to this podcast, so I will give you a pass. So we just wanted your download. We don't care about your listen. So thanks for that. And so basically Twitch and YouTube Live, obviously everyone's heard of YouTube. Twitch maybe not so much, but basically these are video platforms. So Twitch originally was just a streaming platform, but a couple years ago it got bought by Amazon. And most of the gamers actually use Twitch because it seems to have a better following for gamings. For gamers. Now, with that being said, there are other kind of genres you can do when you're streaming on Twitch or YouTube. A lot of people have kind of rushed to this Twitch and YouTube areas because they've heard and read a lot of these articles that these Twitch streamers are actually just playing video games and making millions and millions of dollars a month, or hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, just by doing this. And so I don't think that's the best way, because it actually takes a long time. If you actually read the stories of how Ninja became to be the streamer that he is, it's taken years and many, 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 many streaming sessions. And so it's not really a quick, like a get rich scheme. But this podcast episode is simply just here for you guys to understand like what you need to do to become a Twitch streamer, and what are some of the things you need to think about if you want to do this. And so we're specifically going to focus on Twitch, but also you can do this on YouTube if you want to, or actually you can even do this on Facebook Live. The only difference between using any of those kind of websites is that you need a different, what you call stream key. And we can talk about that at the end. But basically, how you're going to make money on Twitch are kind of by three different methods. So the first one are donations, and the currency on Twitch are called bits. And so basically, if you have a live stream set up and you have an audience, there are people who are watching your stream and they can actually donate money to you. And basically it says like X person has given you 100 bits or something. And I think 100 bits are 140 cents or $1. No, not 100%. Yeah, 140 cents or $1.40. So I've seen someone donate like 100 bits, and I think that's the minimum. And I've also seen someone donate about 70,000 bits or a lot more than that. I think I saw a person who got donated $725, like US dollars, on a stream, which is insane to me, but it happens all the time. Most likely I'll see someone getting between like $5 to $10 per stream. And that's because I think some of the viewers, instead of saying like, oh, I'll buy a Starbucks coffee for $5, let me just use this $5 to support this streamer and make sure that this content I'm watching actually just keeps going. So that's one way, donation bits. The next one, and these are for kind of people or streamers who have a higher following. I would say like if you have like 500 followers or something like that, or even 50, for someone who isn't just has one or two, three people watching them, you can get money from subscribers who actually subscribe to your channel, and also advertising money. So advertising money is easy. Basically, you play an ad on your channel and you'll get a profit of like $2 for however long your ad goes for. That's pretty standard even for YouTube videos. But subscribers is a little bit different. So for subscribers, Twitch, again, was bought by Amazon Prime or Amazon. And so if you have an Amazon Prime account, you actually get a free Twitch account too, which means that you're allowed to give someone a free Twitch sub per month. So every month you can go on Twitch, you can find a streamer, and if you like them, you can subscribe to them. And basically by subscribing to their channel, you open up exclusive things like exclusive chats. There's no blocks on watching any of their videos and stuff like that. So it just opens up other tools and items for you to do. And so basically there's kind of different categories of subscribers, but the general idea is that the more subscribers you have, the more money you make. Because for every subscriber, I think a subscription to Twitch is like $5 per channel. And so the streamer may take like $2 of that $5, while Amazon takes the remaining three. So it's profit sharing. So for every subscriber you get a profit of however much. And so basically there's two different levels of a Twitch streamer. You can either become an affiliate or a partner. Affiliates have lower viewers, but then they can move on to partners. Partners are like Ninja or like Courage or like TP or like all these professional gamers that are streaming on Twitch too. These guys have thousands of viewers and stuff like that and thousands of subscribers. So they're just more, in terms of Twitch's eyes, they're promoting the platform to a greater extent. So they deserve more money. And basically that's kind of the difference between an affiliate and a partner. It's basically how many people actually watch you. Now, with that being said, the types of channels are different on Twitch. There's different categories and different followings for each one. So the one we've been talking about the most is game streaming, where people are just playing video games and people are watching them play video games, which is actually a great job, but I think it would get boring and tedious after a while. One thing you got to remember is that this is, for streamers, this is their job. They're literally streaming from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And I don't know if many people could do that. I don't know if many people could stare at a computer screen and play video games. I mean, some people could. Many people would like to, but it is a job for them, and that's how they see it. And so game streaming is one kind of the biggest field for live streaming. There's another kind of idea where your category is called just chatting. And basically you're literally just, you have a following in your chat and you're literally just talking to all of them. And so that's a little bit less key, less interactive. Well, it's more interactive, but less kind of action paced. So that's one category. I keep seeing a lot of food categories pop up on Twitch where you have these streamers and they're just cooking. And so they'll have one camera actually have like a wide shot of the kitchen with the streamer inside. And then they'll have another shot of like kind of the cooking area, so you can actually watch what they're doing. I think those are kind of cool. I haven't watched it necessarily, but those are kind of some categories you can get to. And last one is podcasting. So Tony and I tried this on Facebook Live, and we might do it again. But podcasters actually will set up camera profiles and actually record their podcasts while live streaming. Sometimes on YouTube, you'll see people actually do this kind of, they'll record their podcast using video and then upload later after they edit it. Another alternative to that is just doing it live and recording it that way. So a lot of different genres, a lot of different categories for you to get into. Okay, so once you kind of decide what you want to stream, whether it be, you know, streaming, games, or food, or just chatting, or podcasting, the idea is that you want to start to grow that viewership. Because honestly, you're not going to get a lot of viewers right off the bat, unless you're like a celebrity or something like that, or you have the support of a celebrity or some high-profile figure. Most of the times, people are just going to try to, like, they'll just start browsing through Twitch in within each category, and they'll just start looking. And if they like your viewers, if they like your stream, they'll stay with you. If they don't like it, then they'll leave. And so what people don't realize is kind of the metrics for each one, or not the metrics, but the standards for each viewership. So Ninja is kind of the outlier. He gets about, I would say 30 to 50,000 viewers at one time, but that's not like the standard. That's kind of the outlier. Most of the time, some high profile Twitch streamers will get between almost 3,000 to 10,000 viewers, and that's a good number. And so if you have anywhere close to that, like you're not listening to this podcast also. But starting off, I would say that if you have an average of like 10 to 50 or 50 to 100 around there, basically below 100, that's a great starting off point. That means you're actually developing an audience and starting to grow it. And from there, you can keep taking on. Getting there is tough. It's absolutely tough. But, you know, once we hit 50, you're eligible for that Twitch affiliate program and you can start making money off your subscribers. So getting to 50 is a big standard and big step and big goal for a lot of people. And once you hit there, then you can actually start making money on this platform. But kind of a couple things that I've heard over time from different streamers and just reading articles is that you don't actually need to be, like, if you're playing video games, you don't need to be good at them. You just need to be on the platform. And I've seen even the good professional partners, like the Twitch partners, if they're on there, sometimes they'll go through streaks where they're just not playing very well, and that happens. But people still go to them. And why is that? Well, first off, those partners have already built a following. But if you're starting off and you're new, there are a couple things that people love to see. So the first thing is you need to be interactive. Now, even though you're literally just playing video games and you're looking at a microphone, if people are watching you, they want to be involved in your chat. They want to tell you like, oh, you missed this, or I think you should do this instead. And you need to be receptive to that, because what you're trying to build is a community on your channel. You're not trying to say like, oh, it's just me, I can do whatever I want. Like, I don't think that's the best way to approach this. You need to make your viewers feel like they're part of a community, and then you need to grow it. So interactivity is very important. The next is consistency. You need to be on Twitch for as much time as possible. Like I said, those partners that are making hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, they're playing 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, sometimes even the weekend. They're playing for like 8 hours a day, right? And so they're consistently on there. So their viewers know that, oh, at this time, this streamer will be on and I can watch him during my lunch break or something. And so consistency is also kind of an important factor in growing your channel. The next is kind of when you're starting off. So when you're a new streamer, if you ever look on Twitch, you'll notice the categories of each game, so Fortnite or Call of Duty or League of Legends. If you go on Twitch, you'll actually notice that you can see how many people are actually streaming that game at the point you're looking. So for like Fortnite, it's going to be like 200,000 people. Like, there's going to be a lot of people streaming that game just because it's so popular. If you look at Call of Duty, same thing. It's a very popular game, so a lot of streamers go there. And so when you actually click on that game, you'll notice it goes by viewers. So the streamers with the most viewers will be towards more the top, and the people with the less viewers will actually be all the way at the bottom. And so if you imagine 200,000 streamers at one time, you're scrolling for a long time. And so What I've learned and what I think that I've read a lot is that you shouldn't start off at those most popular games. You should start off with a game that's a little bit less popular, but that has a decent following. And once you start and build an audience there, when a new game comes out and you actually have some followers, you can transition to a new game and start building your audience there. Starting off at the top in the most popular game is very hard to actually kind of get established and differentiate yourself from other people. So there's kind of some ideas of how to think about growing your Twitch stream and all that. Okay, so now that you understand what Twitch is and kind of the basics of growing an audience, let's actually understand the kind of hardware that you need to actually stream. And it's pretty simple. The first thing you need is a computer or an iPhone, because those two things are going to be able to transmit your video to Twitch or YouTube or whoever. Now, depending on the category of streaming that you want to do, like game streaming or just food, you're going to have different accessories to kind of plug into your computer. But overall, the computer or iPhone or Android phone is the most important part. Now, one thing if you're a game streamer is you have to make the decision between either console or PC, because those two items have radically different setups. What I'll say is that I have a PlayStation 4 and I have streamed through there. But basically, the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox systems do have built-in streaming capabilities. So in that case, all you need to do is plug in, I think you actually need to do the Sony webcam. You just plug in the Sony webcam into your PlayStation 4, set up your Twitch account, link it to your PlayStation, and you can start streaming from there. So you don't actually need a computer for that instance. But many times you want to plug your PlayStation into your computer, because like I said before, it's all about being interactive. And if you're streaming through the PlayStation 4, it's not interactive whatsoever. You can't see a chat. You can't get these awesome kind of animations when a subscriber follows you or you get donations. You'll need a computer to do all that stuff. And we'll go into the software after this. But if you want to play PC games, you're going to need a computer that actually has high cores. We talked about this. And if you don't know what a core is, go back to our Build a PC podcast episode and you can actually check that out, which lets you know what a core is and what a core is used for. But you want a CPU with high cores. You want a PC with a lot of RAM. And you need a graphics card associated to this if you're going to play PC games, because you want to make sure that your gameplay is as smooth as possible. Another thing that people don't think about is your internet connection. You need to have a somewhat decent internet connection, because the faster your internet speed is, the faster your upload speed is, the better it is for your stream play. And this is, we're not going to go into settings and all that stuff, but this is just purely hardware. What will you need? So PC games, you know, a pretty high-end PC, because what happens is that when you're outputting your stream, your CPU is, A, has to render the video game that you're playing, and B, it has to render out the actual footage that it's recording. And so if you think about that, that's a lot of difficult processes that the CPU actually has to go through. So a high-end CPU is probably better than a low-end one. If you're going to be console streaming like Xbox or PlayStation 4 or something else, then you're going to need what we call a capture card. Now, the main brands for these are Avmir or Elgato. Elgato is probably the most popular capture card. And Elgatos come in very various forms. So there's actually one that plugs into the motherboard in your computer. And there's another one that actually acts as like an external capture card. So it'll plug into your computer via USB 3. So you can use your laptop for encoding, or you can use your PC and just plug it in there. It's more portable. Now, the capture cards are simply responsible for taking the input from your console, from your PlayStation 4 or Xbox, encoding it, and then transmitting it out. And this takes a load off your CPU. And so it's just a way to actually capture what your PlayStation 4 is looking at. There is another way to actually live stream from your PlayStation to your computer and have it exported out to Twitch or whatever, but it's a little bit more technically detailed. Basically, you would actually have to set up remote play on your PlayStation and on your console, and then use the software to actually record your remote play on your PC and export that out. But that's a, if you guys want to hear about that, we can do a short 5-minute video on that or podcast on that, I guess. It's really cool. It's really easy if you don't want to get a capture card, because capture cards are somewhat expensive. They're like they're probably like $150 to $200, but you can get them on sale for like $100 sometimes. Now, like I said before, you pretty much only need one PC, but there are times when you actually need two PCs. And the idea behind that is I'm playing a PC game. I want to make sure that the PC game that I'm playing is at its 100% efficiency. There's no other tasks like recording the PC footage and then getting that encoded. Like I said before, that does tax your CPU. So what people have done is actually use two PCs, which is called a two PC setup for streaming. So what that means is they'll actually use a video capture card to output the PC game from one computer, and they'll use another computer to record that gaming PC's output, and then that second PC called the streaming PC will export that out to Twitch. And all that is basically taking the load off your gaming PC, putting the video encoding onto the streaming PC, and exporting that out. Now, not many people do this. Only the true professionals do it. So you don't actually need to do this if you're just starting off. Just realize that. But then again, the streaming PC, if it's just purely streaming, doesn't have to be a super powerful one. You can get away with kind of like a low-end or mid-range PC. So once you get your PC setups, now we can move on to actually how you're going to talk to your viewers and how the viewers are actually going to see you. The two things that you'll need for that are obviously a webcam or camera and a microphone. The microphone can be a Blue Snowball or any kind of $30 to $50 microphone, USB microphone. We're not getting into like large setups like using XLR mics, but a USB microphone should be easy enough for you to talk with your audience. Especially if you don't care that much about audio quality, then having a $30 USB mic is fine. As far as your webcam goes, you kind of want a decent one. If you think about it also, you're going to be kind of scrunched down into the screen. But if you have, this is real, if you have a makeup channel, you're going to need a really crisp webcam because you want people to see your makeup. And there are actually makeup channels on Twitch, by the way. But if you're just streaming video games, you don't really need a super expensive one, like a 4K webcam or whatever. Usually like a standard $30 to $50 webcam will work too. And again, all these microphones and webcams all go into your computer. So now that you actually have your hardware set up, let's talk about the software you'll need to install in order to capture your content, encode your content, and send it off to Twitch and YouTube Live. The first software, and probably the most well-known, is Open Broadcaster Software, or OBS. This is very popular among streamers because it's free and it's pretty easy to use. Coming off of that, there's another one kind of tailored towards gamers called SLOBS or Streamlabs OBS. This one has more interactive functions built in. Basically, you're able to have pop-ups for new subscribers or pop-ups for new donations. And you can have like a chat with overlay on top of your video. So if you're really big into overlays and kind of are gaming specific, Streamlabs OBS is a really good choice. There are also kind of proprietary ones too. Like Elgato has their own streaming software. It's not very good from what I've heard. There's also another one called XSplit. It's a cost one that you have to pay for. I haven't used it before, so I don't know if it's terribly good. But all these things do essentially the same thing. What they'll do is you're able to open up your content within these programs, whether it be gaming or a camera input for podcasting or food creation channels or makeup channels or whatever. And basically, these softwares will take that content, encode it in a way that Twitch and YouTube Live can read it, and then transmit that to those servers to be broadcasted out to the internet. So they're very important. They're very easy to use. And the settings of them are different from time to time based on your hardware. If you want to learn more about that, hit up the 451podcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter and we can help you out with that. So that's basically all we wanted to cover. If you made it this far, thanks for listening to my voice for the last 20 something minutes. Really appreciate it. I think this is a very comprehensive and really well, easy to understand guide of what you need to do to become a Twitch streamer and kind of the ideas behind it, the hardware you need, the software you need, the content you need. And with that being said, we will catch you the next time. Hopefully it's us. Hopefully Tony gets internet back. But basically, I will catch you the next time. See you guys and girls. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.